As if we have to have fun.
And we're after baseball on your dial a little bit later. Have a great day, Melissa.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WF... This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Breaking news on the president's son. Hunter Biden has reached an agreement with prosecutors in Delaware after being charged with tax and weapons violations. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy with our top story.
It's a plea deal, which has Hunter Biden admitting to two misdemeanor tax offenses and avoiding jail time. A felony count related to his possession of a handgun while he was an admitted drug user would be set aside if Hunter Biden complies with the terms of his two-year probation. Under the agreement, the Justice Department would close its investigation into the president's son, which at times focused on allegations of money laundering and illegal lobbying.
In a statement, the White House says the president supports his son and efforts to rebuild his life, but makes no comment on those charges. In Florida, U.S. Judge Aileen Cannon has ordered a trial to begin as soon as August 14th in former President Trump's classified documents case. Fellow Republican presidential hopeful Chris Christie has weighed in on Mr. Trump's appearance on Fox. Christie telling CBS Mornings.
Last night he said the reason he didn't give the documents back was because he's just so very busy. And he didn't have time to respond to a grand jury subpoena because he needed to get his golf shirts and pants out of the box. I mean, does anybody in America believe this?
The Coast Guard is racing the clock, trying to find a missing submersible with five people on board who'd hoped to visit a famous underwater wreck. CBS's Roxana Sabiri.
The search for the vessel is underway around 900 miles east of Cape Cod, near where the Titanic sank and where the water reaches around 13,000 feet deep. The Coast Guard here in Boston says the sub lost contact on Sunday, about an hour and 45 minutes into its dive.
It has only a few days worth of oxygen. There are more severe storms and scorching temperatures in the forecast for the South. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Excessive heat warnings and advisories are posted across parts of New Mexico, Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana. Much of Texas could see heat indexes approaching 120 degrees. Bruce Castillo.
I've been living in Austin for like 20 years now or something. It feels so much hotter than usual.
The brutal heat is expected to continue into the weekend.
An update on glacial melting on some of the most famous mountains on Earth. CBS's Vicki Barker.
Glaciers on the Himalayan mountains, home to Mount Everest and other peaks, are melting 65% faster now than they were in the first decade of this century, on a path to losing up to 75% of their volume by the end of the century.
This is going to have really big consequences.
Researcher Miriam Jackson says those consequences will include dangerous flooding, followed by severe water shortages for the 240 million people who live there.
This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in 2 weeks, Jim Thompson and Fox, GTW Lawyer. Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Work on streets in Wisconsin Rapids continues, but Oak Street is still closed through 14th Street. This week, they plan to replace the sanitary sewer between 12th to 13th Streets. The water main replacement will continue after that. Storm sewer work will occur in the 12th Street intersection, and preparations are being made for concrete curb and gutters from 9th to 12th Street. The concrete pavement maintenance on State Highway 1334 is expected to be completed before the 4th of July. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties gave away over 880 children's books during their Great Book Giveaway June 6th through the 13th. Studies have shown kids who read during the summer are less likely to fall behind when the new school year begins. Over 250 children received books during the event. After a loss last night, the now 10-10 Rafters play the 12-9 Woodchucks in Wausau again tonight at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly clear skies this afternoon with a high of 85. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 59. Highs around 87. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Dry with temperatures above average Thursday and Friday and highs in the upper 80s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 73.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Chris.
I don't know what to do.
On demand now, but there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
Trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Boom.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Do you think increased population in the U.S. is a good thing or a bad thing? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Do you think that we should be proactively trying to increase our population, either in the U.S. or in Wisconsin? And if so, what should we be doing to do that? 844-967-2789. And so the background of why I'm asking this morning is because our top hat, Canada, our neighbors to the north,
Canada,
their people to maple tree ratio is getting a little bit bigger as its population recently became 40 million strong, which obviously is a lot less than the U.S., but still they are making an active effort to grow their population. And so the land that makes Wisconsin winters look like a tropical paradise sometimes, reached their demographic milestone, mostly by politely telling foreign workers, students, and refugees to come on in. And so the government set an ambitious goal of adding 500,000 new permanent residents a year. So 500,000 new permanent residents a year as part of its strategy to keep Canada young. So while many other high-income economies, including ours, is worrying and struggling with an aging native-born population and a shrinking workforce, which we've talked about a lot, Canada hopes that by having newcomers, it will be able to step in to take care of its elderly, invent new tech, and, just in general, keep the economy going. And so in 2022... over a million foreign arrivals were welcomed by Canada, and it accounted for 96% of its headcount growth last year. And so that puts the population growth of Canada at 2.7%, making it the fastest growing high economy in the world, which is a big deal. Like, that seems like a problem that, like, is a good problem to have, right? And so obviously by inviting people in, this is working. And so they're prioritizing, we'll say, they're prioritizing admitting employable people. And so they're taking into account potential immigrants' age, language skills, and education. But reading this, my question becomes, like, should we do this? 844-967-2789. Should we make it a lot easier for employable people to move to the U.S. Jane Mattner, what do you think?
Well, we have businesses all over the state who are saying they can't get enough workers. We certainly know that our farmers and our people in agriculture are having a really difficult time. So we need to encourage people to come here in order to keep growing. This just seems like a no-brainer to me. And what's truly annoying is that fixes to our immigration system should have been underway for the last 30 years. And everybody's just kicked it down the road and done nothing about it because they prefer to politicize it. And the issue isn't going away.
And I totally agree. And I just think this is so, I mean, we talk about it as far as the refugees and people who are coming in from through the border. But, you know, as someone who was in a long-term relationship with someone who was an employable, he's French, he, you know, lived in the U.S. and he, like, the way, but like anyone who was coming from Europe that was trying to work here and everything, like, there was a whole, it was not easy. It was not easy to get your green card. It is not easy to necessarily get work. Like, the ability to try to be a contributing member of society as a young foreign person, watching what him and his friends went through. And, like, I'll say this, a lot of them got married.
No kidding.
Like, a lot of them got married. Yeah, of course. I mean, the thing in that group of friends that I met that were all French, like, it was a financial deal because there's only so many avenues to get your green card in the U.S. and, like, work toward being able to be not only just a citizen, but, like, be able to be here legally. And it's like, you have someone sponsor you. You, whether that's a family member, a spouse, or an employer, you're a refugee, you're a student. But like, if you're just a person with no ties to the U.S., like the doors are not open for you.
Isn't it really expensive too?
Oh, so expensive. Between the lawyers and the fees and the application and stuff, like it takes years. It takes so much red tape. It takes lots of lawyers, and it takes money. And so, like, the argument of right now is what our system is of trying to welcome more people. And when people say, you know, I'm fine with immigration, they just have to do it legally. Okay, but legally is very expensive, and it takes a really long time. And so when we put it into context of comparing it, and granted, we are much bigger than Canada. But there's this great book that I read a couple of years ago called 1 Billion Americans by Matt Iglesias. And the book argues that it's a really good when there's lots of people in the United States. And that historically, America's benefited from having a large population and, you know, like a large population relative to our competitors being right now, when you think about it, India, China, like. And so having the whole book is making the argument as far as why having a growing high population is good. And it's good for people because we live richer and more diverse lives. It's good for the country because it benefits from a large population when it's trying to provide like economic and political incentives. And, you know, and it also means that like we can continue to compete with China, who has a lot more people than we do.
Yes, they do.
And so then the second half of the book is more about policy changes. So the first half is all about making the argument of why this is a good idea. And the second half is talking about what we could do to get there. And one of them is more immigration. He's not arguing for open borders, but making living here easier, both in people who want to immigrate here. And then once they're here, making the cost of living like not totally intolerable.
Well, and I don't think anyone is calling for open borders. No one wants just unrestricted.
Well, I think there's some people. I think there's some very left people who would argue. I've heard the argument before. I don't think the majority are arguing for open borders. But yeah, but as far as making it easier for the purpose of a growing high population is good. And, you know, should we? So my question again is, should we be actively trying to reach like 500 million Americans, let alone a billion Americans? Do you think that's a good idea? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. What do you think? I mean, this is just immigration. This isn't even touching on potential policies that would make you want to have more babies. But we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. 8-9. We're going to take a quick break. Hear from you after that through text or call. This is As Goes the Council. We were born to be wild. We can climb so high. I never want to die. Born to be wild. Born to be wild.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in 2 weeks, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com. Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This afternoon, for Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are talking about whether or not we should strive for 500 million Americans, maybe even a billion Americans. And I'm asking this morning because Canada has recently made the decision, or not recently made the decision, they made the effort to open their immigration policy to really welcome in employees, students, refugees, and it's worked for them. Their population recently became a 40 million strong, and they currently have a population growth rate of 2.7%, making it the fastest growing high income economy in the world. And so my question to you is, should we be like Canada? 844-967-2789.
Jack from Caledonia, thank you for calling, Jack. What do you think?
Yeah, the world population, we could actually handle a lot more people. But the question is, are the people that are coming to the country going to be taking care of themselves, taking care of their families, or are they going to be feeding off the people that are here? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have the workers in America, the eligible workers in America. There's 42% that are sitting at home. Okay. So just think of that. I mean, they say the unemployment rate is down to 2-3%. Okay. Well, 42% of people that can work are not working because they're receiving some type of government aid or, you know, living off of somebody someplace, you know, mom, dad, basement.
Jack, where are you getting that number from? I've never heard that number before.
42%. Oh yeah. Google it. Yeah.
Are you talking about the labor participation rate?
The labor participation rate. Okay.
You know that includes people who are like disabled and elderly and people like retired. Like that's not just all people who are working age population, not working.
Whatever they look at as far as a population rate. Okay. I mean, who's ever eligible to work. Now this disabled people are eligible to work. Okay. You know, they may not be roofing be a roofer or something, but they can be, you know, running a computer system, doing orders and things. You know, I mean, it's not like they're not capable of working. Now, there are some that are not capable of working, of course, you know. But my point is that the people that come into America, okay, they have to be able to have a means to take care of themselves. I mean, look in New York. They're spending $5 million a day taking care of illegal immigrants. $5 million a day.
But how much do you think the illegal immigrants are also adding to the economy? Because a lot of, like, most of them are working and they're just working under the table.
Yeah, and that's not not good for anybody. One thing is they're being taken advantage of by employers in some cases.
Okay. Well, that's true. That's certainly true. But did you not see in Florida there was two Republicans who had a conference with their constituents trying to make sure that people knew that they weren't going to get deported because of all of Ron DeSantis's like scare tactics. And so they were literally because construction sites are empty, farmers need people to work. And so that they were actually talking to Spanish speaking undocumented people trying to help them not be scared and leave the state entirely. Cause they do contribute a lot to our economy.
There are legal means to get those work visas. Okay, up in northern Wisconsin, a lot of the dairy farms are almost 100% Hispanic. Okay, but they've been brought up legally. Okay, and it's a good thing. You know, it is
a good thing. We talked last year to a ginseng farmer in Wausau who said the same thing but also talking about how much he relies on immigration and those work visas, and so that's why it is a good thing.
Absolutely, and my point is that it has to be done through legal means. Okay.
I totally agree. And that's what I was talking about in the first segment making those legal means less expensive, less timely, and more accessible.
They're walking across the border.
But we need to. It's not just people across the border. I know tons of people from Europe who want to live here. I know tons of people from Canada who want to live here. I know people from Australia that want to live here. It's not just people walking across the border. There's people still, despite all of our problems, all around the world who would love to live in America.
Well, we're one of the few countries where we don't have lock people in to stay here. You know, I mean, you talk about China. They don't allow anybody to leave any place. You know, unless they're. To go live some other place. It's really amazing, you know, the difference between the two cultures.
Appreciate the call, Jack.
That is a true statement, Jack. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. We have Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Hey, Jack, thank you for hanging on. What do you think?
Means of getting people into the workforce. Have one of those legal means just might possibly be to end the exemption for service workers like in restaurants and bars so that they at least have a shot at the minimum wage. And of course it wouldn't hurt to raise the minimum wage to a real living wage. I have an acquaintance, a lady actually that was my server for years at one of the bars. And when she came back after COVID, because they closed the place, she gave them, I think, a month's notice and said, you're going to have to find somebody else. I've got a couple of kids and childcare costs. Oh, my goodness. There's another way, by the way, to help things. But childcare costs have risen to the point where it cost me about half the time, even with good tips. And she did get good tips. It cost me about half the time. It cost me more to work than it would be to stay at home and take care of my kids. Is the losing proposition, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for the call. Oh,
that would help.
That would help. I agree. And there's actually a couple other things in the book that I mentioned, A Billion Americans, that we'll go over after the break as far as what could help between getting people to have the size of family that they want and increasing immigration, and they also the immigration of people who want to live and work and contribute to the economy. So we would love to hear from you. Should the U.S. aim for a billion people in population? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in just a moment.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The McMillan Memorial Library is taking a bus to the Sand Hill Wildlife Area tomorrow. You can register on their website for this trip that leaves the library at 1 tomorrow and returns at 4:30. you'll travel to the Sandhill Wildlife Area to take part in their bison program. An adult must register with and accompany children. Also at 1 o'clock tomorrow, you can join library staff outdoors for their messy painting event from 1 to 2. They'll be in the McMillan Library Children's Garden, weather permitting. Make sure you wear clothing you don't mind getting paint on. Painting is also taking place in Wausau. Here's Brittany Merlot with the story.
More murals are being painted in Wausau. The Priceless Building Center had over 50 people begin to create a new work of art on Saturday. Representing the trades, it will say, "Build Your Future," with paintings of people working and tools. It should be on display by August or early September.
I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All into it, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear skies this afternoon with a high of 85. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 59. Highs around 87. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Dry with temperatures above average Thursday and Friday and highs in the upper 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 73.
It wasn't without some cons. There's concerns about Canada's housing supply and infrastructure as far as accommodating so many new residents. But in general, it's been very welcomed. As far as 69% of Canadians disagree with the idea that there's too much immigration in the country.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And so with that,
I was just curious as far as where people, where you stand on thinking about efforts to increase our population. You know, we're at what, 380 million? Somewhere between 360 and 380. I don't know off the top of my head exactly. But, you know, like, what would it look like to have 500 million Americans or even a billion Americans? And so, interested in hearing from you, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
As of 2021, the U.S. population was 331.9 million. 844-96-PARTY. We have Robin on the phone from Milwaukee. Hey, Robin, thank you for joining us. What do you think?
Hi, I like this topic a lot. It's a pretty good one to think on. And you guys are absolutely right that, like, immigration, illegal and legal, is the reason why America, or the U.S., doesn't currently have the graying problem that Europe and Japan and other developed nations have.
Yep.
So we should be thankful for all of them. And, you know, going forward, it's good to know, like I think about, not as America's one huge place that has a lot of room, but a lot of places where people already live, like that are very concentrated. For example, like the Eastern Seaboard is the population density of Japan. And the Houston Triangle is the population density of like Spain or something like that. We have a few areas that have a lot of people and then a whole lot vast of nothing, where there's no services, no infrastructure, no water. And the other problem is the population has been moving to places that can't support it, California, Arizona, Florida, and moving away from the places that can, like the Great Lakes and the Eastern Seaboard. So it's just something to noodle on. Obviously, we should be prepared for an increase of population because, you know, this is going to be a place when global warming starts to really kick in, this is going to be a haven for folks in the equatorial regions. That's it.
Robin, absolutely. That's a great call, Robin.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And thank you for using the word noodling.
No problem.
Just makes me really happy. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. We have a text from the 414. Ask Wisconsin dairy farmers and farmers if they want more immigration. They will quietly say yes. Despite their Republican leanings, they need workers. They need them now.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting what Robin was saying as far as, you know, I think about this. My brother actually talks about this a lot when we talk about Wisconsin Rapids, which is where my parents grew up. It's where they live now. Shout out WFHR, all our listeners there.
Yes, and our friends there.
And, you know, that is a city that at one point, like when my parents were growing up because of the paper mill, like it was a thriving, bustling city with like there's a lot of infrastructure in a town like Wisconsin Rapids that could have a larger population than it has right now because the population's declined because of jobs. But like, as far as what's been built and what the capacity could be. And it just makes me think of like, how many Wisconsin Rapids are there across the country?
Right.
Of like places that were mid-sized cities, mid-sized towns that at one point had like a strong economy that with a lot of like living wage jobs. And then as the economy has changed there, that infrastructure still exists and could handle a lot more people than currently live there now, but we just don't have the population that is there.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text David from Mequon on the line. Hey, David, what do you want to say?
Good morning. Well, just to point out really quickly, the overall population of Wisconsin has been growing. We're actually almost close to, I think we just crossed this past year or two, I think we're over 5.9 million. So where the growth is, are the areas where you have like Madison, Dane County, it's just exploded. And people are moving to areas where they will see opportunities and they're going more to the urban areas and they're leaving the rural areas for different reasons. And I think part of it is just because younger kids today, in particular, they'll gravitate to the bigger cities just because there's just more things to do. That being said, I think you were talking about like 500 million people or a billion people in the United States. That, I think, would be catastrophic in the fact that if you look at the amount of resources that would have to be used just to feed people and to, put in the additional infrastructure – I don't want the United States to look like one big shopping mall, personally. And I do worry about that when you have, I moved to Mequon in 2006. And today, Mequon is a lot different than it was just, even from 2006. It was much more rural. And slowly, the farmland is disappearing. And some of the reasons why I moved out here was to get away more from the suburban type of feel. And now it's caught up again. And it's like, it kind of sucks. And so I look at it from a little different standpoint, I guess, in that sense. There's positive.
So you're saying because you would prefer to live in a place that's a little bit slower, quieter. Smaller. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, there is still a lot of that in Wisconsin. Not to say that you have to move, but like I was just up in Door County for the weekend, and I was shocked with as much as there is to do in Door County, how much of it is still land, just open land. And I was like, who owns all of this?
Right. Well, they actually have so if you go past Sturgeon Bay, I don't know if you noticed this. So if you go past Sturgeon Bay, once you go up the rest part of Door County, they do not allow any chain anything. There's no Starbucks, there's no McDonald's, there's no Burger King's, nothing.
No Walgreens.
And they put that, and they purposely put that in place like they did in Mackinac Island. There was a big outrage that the Starbucks opened on the main drag there. And then Mackinac Island, the residents there did the same thing. They're like, no, we don't want it. We want independent, little stores and things. Which I think is great. I'm a big advocate of supporting, the local business over a commercial, chain kind of a thing. Not to say that they're bad, but that's just my preference. And so Door County, I do like the charm of Door County. And part of the charm is there's a lot of land, there's a lot of parks, and people like space. That's just natural. They want...
That's the difference. Like, I like living in a city center where things are walkable, things are more condensed, where like I see my neighbors and stuff. So I feel like there's to each their own, but I totally understand your point, Dave. Thanks so much for the call.
844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. We have Kurt on the line from Eagle River. Hey, Kurt, what do you think?
Yeah, I do, but I think we should probably kind of solve the housing issues first. I mean, a lot of these places seem to have problems even housing Americans that are here presently. So, yeah, I do agree. I mean, we need to help, but we do need to have a place for them to live.
I totally agree. And I mean, that's a great point, Kurt, as far as the fact that, like, we need affordable housing. Definitely.
For everybody.
For everybody.
And the problem is it's running out of land. Your farmland, most of it can't be developed anymore into residential. So even in Wisconsin, there's a lot of area that it's farmland, and that farmland can't be taken away because obviously for food production. And that's an issue that's going to happen.
And that's something that's when I drive through Wisconsin, I always wonder that of like how much land you see and how much is used for farming, how much is, private, like what could still be developed and what can't. And I don't know enough about like the distribution of ownership to know what that is. Are you a farmer, Kurt? Do you know more about that?
Yeah, I know quite a bit. Most of your ordinances, you cannot build on a house unless you have a certain amount of acreage. Just for the fact is to preserve the farmland so you don't have, houses popping up everywhere and taken away from the farmland, pretty much. Because there's a lot of issues going on where people that do live out in the country have issues with the farmland and contamination and everything else.
Definitely.
CAFOs and such.
It's a jungle. You gotta, farmers are there for a reason, but people need somewhere to live too, so it's something that's gonna have to be figured out, the housing issue, before we have a billion people, because there's no way the country can support a billion people. I mean, that's a lot of people. So
it is a lot of people. Thanks so much for the call, Kurt. And that's I think that's kind of the audacity of that, and I highly recommend the book. You may not agree with it, but as far as the it's so the book again is 1 Billion Americans by Matt Iglesias, who's a policy. I don't think he's at Vox anymore, but that's where I first found out who he was. I listened to a podcast he used to host. And he's very smart. He has a lot of takes. You may or may not agree with all of them, but I just thought it was an interesting argument as far as with the political will of wanting of prioritizing it and what a larger population can do. And because he has a whole argument about just the idea of competition in general. And if you think about restaurants, he uses this example in the book, but like we think about restaurants, and when you live in a small town where there's not a lot of people, usually your variety and your the variety, let alone how good the restaurant options are in your town, typically, I don't want to make any assumptions, but typically are fewer, right? Versus once you get to a Chicago, a New York, but a Milwaukee, a Madison. And so like, because the competition forces you to be a better restaurant in order to compete with your neighbor, right? And so how do you get the people who are available to come to your restaurant? Like, you actually need to be better. When you're the default option, there's not necessarily anything that's going to make you better. But what drives the opportunity to have more restaurants is more people who can frequent those restaurants and keep them in business. And so that's like one example. But as far as having more people drives competition, it drives innovation, it drives, you know, more ideas and all of it. And so that's kind of the underlying argument of why this is a good thing. Now, the actual practical application of it and how we could get there is where we get to debate, right?
Right.
So I just think this is super interesting. We could probably come back to this this topic at another time. But for now, we're going to wrap up this segment, because in the next segment, we are giving away some Brewers tickets.
You betcha.
We haven't done it in a little while.
No, so we haven't.
We have Brewers tickets for Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, where they're going to be playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. And so the game is at 1:10 p.m. So this is for people who can play hooky from work.
And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day for baseball.
Is it?
Oh, the weather is going to be like this all week.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it. I know. But when we come back, we will be giving those tickets away. So if you are eager to be able to go see a game, afternoon game, 1:10 p.m. on Wednesday, get that dialing finger ready, 844-967-2789. And as a reminder that these tickets are made available because of Civic Media's flagship Brewer station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM, which you can hear throughout the Fox Valley. And you can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll give away those Brewers tickets and play a couple clips from last night's interview. I'll leave it there. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners?
Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Pop a top and join the fun. Donate your cans today to help feed and care for the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Express Recycling Solutions Incorporated, dedicated to helping our community by providing many recycling services as well as drop-off locations for cans at the Southwood County Humane Society and 480 Strodeman Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Express Recycling Solutions, keeping our community clean and safe.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
61, daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. Low 80s.
We've got heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start.
Getting the idea.
We've got hope. We don't sit around and
mourn. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and it is time for you to win some Brewers tickets.
Baseball.
The crew will be hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks this week, and we have tickets to give away for Wednesday's game. And the first pitch is set for 1:10 p.m., so it is a day game. So you'll either have to play hooky from work, or maybe you just don't, maybe you have a flexible schedule, maybe you're retired, but if you would like to go see, enjoy the sunshine, get some tailgating in, yes, on a hump day, which is tomorrow at 1:10 p.m., give us a call right now, 844-967-2789. Jane will take your information, and you will get to go. Just a reminder that if you've won the last 30 days on any show, not just our show,
right,
you're not eligible. So you have to, you can, if you've won before, you can win again, but it is, you have to do 30 days. But otherwise, no trivia, no story.
No,
we're just, no tests, just the first caller to call in. Jane will get your information. That's 844-967-2789. And a reminder that you can hear the Milwaukee Brewers by tuning into Civic Media's flagship Brewer station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, which you can listen to throughout the Fox Valley. And you can also catch the Brewers on WRCE, News from the Center in Richland Center, at 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. And so, yeah, so we will give those tickets away. If we don't get any callers right now, we'll make an announcement later in the show. But first person who would like those Brewers tickets, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. So while we wait for the calls to roll in, but Jane, did you catch any of Trump's Fox interview last night?
I was on Twitter and I was following Tom Nichols. Are you familiar with Tom Nichols?
Not familiar with
He's
Tom
a writer
Nichols.
For the Atlanta or Atlantic. He taught at the Naval College for many, many, many years. And he and Tim Miller, who's with the Bulwark, were both live tweeting as it went on.
I do know Tim Miller. I'm a big fan of Tim Miller.
Tim Miller is pretty funny. And then I went back and watched a few clips because there's a lot that was said in there.
Well, and that was, you know, Brett Baer, like I don't watch a lot of Fox News, right? Like I just, I see clips. I hear kind of like what becomes the zeitgeist of the day based on what Fox does. But I don't watch a lot of cable news, period. Like, okay, I get my information through my social media things, my newsletters. Like, I just don't turn on the TV to just have it on. So if anything from Fox ever gets bubbled up as far as a clip that gets shared a lot, that's usually what I see. So when I saw this, I was just a little, I mean, I saw the different clips and stuff. I was like, all right, Brett Baer, like, because he did not pull any punches. I mean, compared to the last interview that Tucker Carlson did with Donald Trump a month or two ago, especially considering that we, at that point, when they did that interview, the whole world already had seen Tucker's text about how much he hates Donald Trump. But, you know, like that was a fairly like softball interview. And so last night, Donald Trump sparred with Fox News host Bret Baier in a tense interview on a number of topics, including the former president's possession of classified documents and whether he believes anyone even watches Fox anymore. And so it was a bit of a tit for tat. And it's the latest in Baier's interviews with presidential candidates. And this comes as like kind of the warm up, I think, to Fox News, who was hosting the first GOP presidential debate in Milwaukee on August 23rd, which is right around the corner. I wonder if we're going to be able to be there, do anything for that. That is going to be August 23rd is going to be here really soon. But, you know, last month, it's interesting because last month, the New York Times reported that Trump was unwilling to be interviewed by Baier because of his coverage of the 2020 election, which included Baier challenging Trump's election fraud claims. And the two have not sat down together since 2018. And so I was pretty interested in the fact that it happened last night, and it was not a softball interview.
I was shocked. I was genuinely, genuinely taken aback. Even though, as Baier was pushing back on him, he was almost apologetic about having to fact check him. He really was. It was kind of like, well, you really screwed that. I set it up for you and you screwed it up. So now I got to point out where you blew it.
Well, we pulled some clips from last night. So which one do you want to play first, James?
We will start with the documents.
Okay.
They're mine. They're not mine. Wait, they're mine.
The only way NARA could ever get this stuff, this back, would be please, 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 could we have it back?
And they
please.
Asked for that.
Because they have no, we
they
were
did
talking.
Ask for it.
No.
And they said,
I gave
can you give
some,
the documents back?
And we were talking.
And then they said they went to DOJ to subpoena you to get them
which
back.
They've never done before.
Right. And but why fairness, not just hand them over then?
Because I had boxes. I want to go through the boxes and get all my personal things out. I don't want to hand that over to NARA yet. And I was very busy, as you've sort of seen.
Yeah, but I've according very, to the indictment, you then tell this aide to move to other locations after telling your lawyers to say you'd fully complied with the subpoena when you hadn't.
But before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
Yeah, who doesn't pants their, who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Because I know every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers is that bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
You know, because, well, you know, to be fair, he didn't think that he was going to get evicted from the White House. So you had to get out in a fast, in a pretty big hurry.
Was it, didn't anticipate that coming. And then my other favorite clip from last night is when Bret Baier, again, props to him, listed off all of the people that Trump fired that he originally claimed were the best people in the world in his administration.
But we put people in that were great and we put people in that weren't. I now know Washington probably better than anybody. I know the good ones and the bad ones, and we will have really great, strong people. I already know who they are, but we will have really great, strong people.
Okay. In 2016, you said that. I'm going to surround myself with only the best and most serious people.
Well, I did do that.
This
and we
time,
had tremendous look. We had the best economy we've ever had.
This
the world
time,
has ever seen.
Your Vice President Mike Pence is running against you.
Yeah.
Your Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, she's running against you. Your former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he's not supporting you. You mentioned National Security Advisor John Bolton. He's not supporting you either. You mentioned Attorney General Bill Barr, says you shouldn't be president again. Calls you the consummate narcissist and troubled man. You recently called and Barr a gutless pig.
We don't even have time to play the whole clip.
Just a taste.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. Our first hour. When we come back from the top of the hour news, have you ever turned down more money? And if so, why? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back after the news.
That's the hardy thing to do.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both.